Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lead a pin podcast with Dan and Scott. Hottest golf podcast, whether you like it or not. Fresh from back in the day when that's a put at the park. 7 a.m. p.m. special where they played after dark. From the birdies to the focus to the losses and the win. Welcome podcast, patron to the show. Lead a pin, get busy golfing or get busy dying. Hottest golf podcast and I swear I ain't lying. Yeah. Leave the pin.
Welcome back, podcast patrons. It's Dan here. And you know what time it is. It is our yearly Pinehurst Thanksgiving trip review episode. Every single year for the last, I can't even count how many years, my family and I have been traveling to Pinehurst area to play golf, hang out, and just enjoy the sand hills and everything that they have to offer. So let's get started. This year we stayed at a Airbnb in Southern Pines. You know, we always bring the pup with us, and we need a place where we can have the dog. So great place. We actually stayed on a small little farmette, which is like an acre and a half, 2 acre farm that allows horses. No horses on the property at the time, but the corrals were there, the stable, the barn was all there. Great place. One of the drawbacks, I guess people could say, I loved it. I love this aspect of it, is you can hear the train, right? Like if you've been down to Pinehurst, you know that you hear the Aberdeen Railway train literally from anywhere. I mean, I can't think of a course in the area that you cannot hear the train from. Now, there's some housing and some lodging where the train gets a little bit closer. Like if you stay off the condos of 1 and 3 and 5 at Pinehurst when that line was running in front of the resort, you could hear it. It would shake those condos a little bit. Now, that line is being worked on. I guess they're doing some stuff for the U.S. Open. We'll get into that. There's a big influx of money coming into the Pinehurst Resort because of the 2024 U.S. Open. A lot of construction going on there. But that railway is not working anymore because they're doing some actual work to it. But, you know, you could hear it from the house. It wasn't something where it woke me up at night. But I love that aspect. Like, I love sitting at the house and listening to the train. It just, I don't know. I guess it harkens back to, like, you know, old-time America, if you will. Using the railways to travel and transport grain and goods, et cetera, et cetera. It's a cool aspect about the area. And the area is very, you know, Rockwellian to begin with. And I think the train adds to that. Now, the train actually runs right through downtown Southern Pines. Like I said, it used to run right through the resort. It doesn't anymore, or as of right now. I'm sure it might continue on again in 2024. But it's one of my favorite aspects of it down there. I don't know why. You know, call me corny, but I absolutely love it. I absolutely love hearing the train. And I got to see it at one point. Went out to Southern Prime, great restaurant in downtown Southern Pines, and we were there, and we got out of the car, and it was passing. I just, you can get right up to it. Like, I mean, literally, you could, you know, walk into it if you wanted to. You know, there's nothing, I guess, aside from self-preservation that stops you from reaching out and touching the train. But it's a neat aspect. But let's get to what you want to hear about. Let's talk about the golf that was played while we were down at Pinehurst. So we played the following rounds. We played at the Cradle, played at a brand new course I've never played before, Highland Golf Club. We played Southern Pines, first time I played it since the redesign. Played Pinehurst number 8, and then another new course. Well, Pinehurst number 8 was a new course. And then another new course, Tot Hill Farms. Which ended up just being the highlight of the trip. So let's break them all down. All right. First off, the Cradle at the resort. If you are not a resort guest, You're not staying at the resort. You're not on a stay and play package. You've got one day in advance that you can book tee times. Let me tell you this. The Cradle is not like the Cradle of old, where you could literally walk up any time of day and get a tee time. You legit need to be on the phone at 8 a.m. trying to get a tee time for that next day if you're not staying at the resort. Now, if you're staying and you're on a play and pay package there, then they will bend over backwards to give you the tee time that you want. That is where the resort's money and resources are going towards. They're going towards the stay and play people, okay? One of the downfalls of Pinehurst, and a lot of members will tell you this, is the money at the resort, the tee times at the resort, the love and affection at the resort towards people is going towards those outsiders that are paying exorbitant prices to stay and play there. It's not going to the members. And a lot of times the members get upset about that because they're kind of relegated to 1, 3, and 5, those courses. Now, you could put me on 1, 3, and 5 and I'd play them for the rest of my lives and be completely happy. But the tee times at the big courses at 2, at 4, soon to be 10, 8 with the renovations, the Centennial course, you know, 6 and 7. All those courses are going towards the resort packages before they are going towards the members. But the Cradle's a great deal. Okay, the Cradle's $50. That $50 is going to get you 9 holes. That $50 is going to get you any replay that you're able to squeeze yourself onto on the course. Now, the replays are 100% determined by the starter. And I have found that if you just speak to the guy, speak to the woman that's there, whoever it might be, that you know, a little face value goes a long way. A little chit chat goes a long way. So we played our 9 holes. And before we played, I asked him, what's the probability of getting right back out again? And he said, you know what? When you guys come around, remind me, let me see what I can do. My tee sheet is packed. So feeling like we weren't going to play another 9, I went back up to the pro shop or the little hut right outside the lawn bowling area, the croquet area. And I asked the guy, hey, I said, I don't know if you remember. He says, yeah, man. He goes, I'll tell you what, if you're good, swing out right after this couple right here. Fantastic. He literally put us in between 2 tee times, saw that we had played fast, saw that we could hit the ball, got us right out. So then later on that night, we came back super late. Now, I'm in the Northeast. It's getting dark here around 4:30, 4:35, maybe 4:40. Now, down there, I got some light till about 5:20 p.m. So an extra 30, 40 minutes. So we get there around 4:45 or so, 4:40. And I asked the star, I said, hey, don't know if you remember us. We were here about 6, 7 hours earlier in the afternoon. Any chance we can sneak out right now? Guy says, without a doubt, he says, here's the only thing. You need to be off the course by 5:20. That's when it's dark. You need to clear everyone off. I said, I'll tell you what, dude, we'll be off by 5:10. You do not have to even worry about us. We got right out and played 3 or 4 extra holes right there. So that little face value interaction, that just conversing with the guy really helped. And what's funny is it's been the same guy for about 8 to 10 years there in the hut. He's a former athletic director in the Northeast. I'm not going to give too much of his information away. But every year we kind of talk about high school athletics. And I said to him, I said, hey, man, I don't know if you remember. And you probably don't because you see so many people. I said, but we have the same conversation every single year. And the guy got kind of a chuckle out of that. But it's those little interactions where he then remembers you, right? He remembers me, seeing the boys with me. And it's an easy way to get back out. So legitimately, you could play 36, 45, 72 holes on the Cradle if you wanted. I say this every time I do the Pinehurst Review podcast. I would be more than happy spending a day eating breakfast at the resort, playing 9, playing Thistledew, chipping and putting, playing another 9, going to lunch at the 91st hole, playing another 9. I could spend an entire day, multiple days even, in and around the back of the Pinehurst Resort and the Cradle. So the Cradle is great. We love it. They, you know, nothing changes except sometimes where the mats are placed and the pin positions. It was running super fast. It always is. People were gambling on Lydon and myself, the last 3 holes, who was going to hit it closer, who was going to sink putts. It's a very fun round. They'll let anybody walk with you that's not playing. People play barefoot, not so much in November because of the weather, but in the summer you'll see people playing barefoot. It's a really great break from what some of the Pinehurst resort courses can do to you, and that's beat you up pretty big. So I learned when we were down there that they were in a drought, 3.5 months or so with hardly any, you know, accumulation of rain. And then we got 2 inches overnight. Absolute downpour. Anywhere else in the country, aside from maybe living at the beach, you're going to have puddles. You're not going to be able to play the courses. And it's just the way it is. The sand hills drain. So the next morning we wake up and we were staying legitimately a quarter mile away from this place called Highland Golf Club. I had read about it a little bit. I knew nothing about it. It's veteran owned, operated. I thought that was great. We drove down the road, took us a legit 2.5 minutes to get there. As the crow flies, quarter mile, I probably could have, you know, probably could have hit 3 drivers and gotten there distance wise. But we had to head back onto US 1 and then cross over onto the side road. And we get there, $80. For the three of us to walk, not each, $80 in total. It was $40. One junior plays free. Lyden, being 17, had to pay full price, but $80 walk or ride. The guy thought we were crazy that we were going to ride. I mean, that we were going to walk and not ride. And I said, well, it's been wet and I don't really feel like doing car path only. It's not my thing. I honestly hate it. It's one of my biggest pet peeves in golf, next to hitting out of a divot. So we walk. And the guy talks to us a little bit in the beginning and apologizes for the conditions of the greens. So here I'm thinking the greens are damaged, the greens aren't good. But he goes on to tell me that he had standing water on 2 of the greens in low-lying areas. They happened to be on the back 9. When we got there, there was no standing water. This place, the greens were phenomenal. Beyond fast for just having received 2 inches of rain. Almost unfairly fast for receiving 2 inches of rain. So awesome course. There's a great variety in holes. Their loop from 4 through 8 literally looks just like the loop around the lake at Pinehurst number 4. I mean, as soon as we got to the 4th tee box and looked down to our left and saw the lake down below, I looked at both my boys. I said, this is Pinehurst number 4. It's just Pinehurst number 4 on a budget. Without the money put into it. You know, the variety there really struck me. And it's my biggest takeaway for this course. The greens were great. The fairways were a little spotty here or there. I think you're going to get that at a public-owned course or a mom-and-pop-owned course, if you will, however you want to categorize it. It doesn't have the level of play that Pinehurst gets. It doesn't have the money flushed into it like Pinehurst. But the people were so friendly. The conditions are improving. And here's the greatest thing. We're the only friggin' people on the course. Legitimately 3 cars in the lot. 1 for each owner and us. When we got done in 3 hours and 25 minutes later walking, there were 5 cars there because the rain had scared people away. I say 325. If this course was really meant for walking, we could have played in 245. There are some long hikes between the greens and future tee boxes. Some of them through neighborhoods, some of them through down desolate paths that you're not sure you're going the right way. But if we were in a cart and it wasn't car path only, 215, 230, easily. I mean, we flew and we had a blast and the holes were memorable. You know, I can go back and remember all 18 still, you know, a week and a half later from playing it. The only thing they didn't have, which you know I love, was some good merch. They have a logo where it's an H for Highland. It's H-Y-L-A-N-D. And the left-hand side of the H is a swinging golfer. Not my favorite logo in the world, not going to lie, but everything inside the pro shop was just like that H on a hat. And you can't blame them. I mean, it's legit a mom and pop run organization. So you can't knock the hustle. You can't take any points away from them because of it. Absolutely delightful round. Cannot speak highly, any more highly about it. Had a lot of people reach out on Instagram when I posted some videos from there, and they said, I've never heard of this place. And realistically, I mean, it's 12-15 minutes from Pinehurst Resort. And that's one of the problems that I think people have when they go down there. And I understand it too, right? It's a blessing and a curse to have that much golf. But when you go down to Pinehurst, the first things that pop out in your mind are Southern Pines, number two, number four. If you're lucky enough to get into Forest Creek, we'll talk about that round. We got rained out for it, unfortunately. Tobacco Road. You know, think of like the big like six or seven or eight courses down there. And then they fail to realize that there are like 40 courses within 15 miles. I mean, it's just an overindulgence of courses. And look, left hand up to the sky, like I am guilty as well, right? My first few years was spent just on the resort only. And now that I've been there so many times and have played those courses so many times, have I really started to expand my horizons to what else is available out there? And there is golf in Pinehurst for everybody. There's golf for the bag tag hunters that want 2-4, you know, so pines, pine needles, mid pines, all those, right? You can get your bag tags, man. You can spend your $600-800 on a round. And then there's Knollwood, right? Where you can spend, you know, $10 a round. You know, which again, we played Knollwood as well. And I say every year, we're not going to talk too much about it because it's one of our first rounds every year. Knollwood is one of the most fun nine-hole courses in the world, okay? It's awesome. It's no frills. It's a grass range. It's, Bermuda greens, Bermuda putting green, and the place is mobbed, right? And the place is mobbed with locals that love golf but don't want to be surrounded by the hustle and bustle of the resort and don't want to pay the resort prices all the time. So while the resort dominates everything in and around that area, there are these, you know, little corners and nooks and crannies that you can find of real good, affordable golf. I will say this, after going down there for so many years, this year and last year, especially this year, was the year where I realized that prices really are almost becoming unattainable for the normal person down there. Now, I would play Longleaf every year. Longleaf's a great course right off Midland Road. Old horse racing track runs through the course. They've got a 6-hole par 3 course called Bottle Brush, home to the U.S. Kids Academy. It's phenomenal. I love the course. Like, I could play the course for the rest of my life if given no other choice. But what I used to spend for $25 for a round or $30 for a round is now $80. Or $95 around there. You know, Pinehurst Resort, 1, 3, and 5. We're banging here for $110 for a round in late November. And the junior rate was $80. You know, a lot of these other courses, the junior rate was half or it was, you know, free with a paying adult. So I understand Pinehurst Resort. It's catering to the one and done person. It's catering to the bucket list chaser that wants to go down there and pay, you know, pay to play 2, pay to play 4, maybe hit up, you know, 9, you know, the national, maybe hit up 8 to get another flag or something like that, another bag tag, get some cool tees. But it's really becoming unaffordable if you're someone that is down there quite often. Right? Unless you've got hookups, unless you know the people down there. And I do know a few, and I'm very appreciative of them. And they've been very, very good to me. And I thank them often. So next course we play with Southern Pines. I've not played since the redesign. Let me tell you this. Southern Pines is beyond fun. Beyond fun. Beyond visually appealing. Beyond visually intimidating at some points. I absolutely loved it. Like, I friggin' love this course. I love everything about it. I love the public course feel, even though they're not public course prices anymore, I'll tell you that. They're working on the range. They're working on redesigning the clubhouse, building a completely new clubhouse. It's amazing. But this is a course where I could not play every day. I played great. I shot 79. This course kicked my ass. We got done. This was on Thanksgiving morning. We got done. It was a 4.5 hour round. It was so slow. It was awful. I got done with it, sat down for Thanksgiving dinner, and told my wife that if someone told me I could play that for free tomorrow, I would not. You have to be so on off the tee with blind tee shots. You have to be so on around the greens. So many false fronts. Just a big, brawny course. So much undulation. I mean, I was mentally exhausted after playing Southern Pines. Thankfully, we got a rain day the next day and we're not able to go to Forest Creek. I don't think I would have performed, you know, admirably if we did. There's a lot of new flash bunkering down there. Ton of visual deception, like I said. It plays so much longer than the scorecard says. Scorecard says it plays like 6,300. No way. It was like all of 6,700, 6,800. It was just stupid at times. I mean, I had like long irons, hybrids into greens. And you're hitting these into greens that have false fronts and fall off slopes everywhere into the water or into these deep bunkers. God, it is such a tough course. And they don't even open the metal tees, which are the ones all the way in the back, which they're going to start using for tournaments once the clubhouse is all done and stuff. There are some, you look back and you're like, what? Like, come on, who's going back there? You know, like, unless you got a tour card in your back pocket, please do not step back there. All right, take my word for it. There were so many people. One of the things that the negative of the round, I don't want to say ruined it. Nothing ruined the round. But one of the negatives was all these people playing the wrong tees. There were balls going everywhere. We got hit into 3 times because of blind tee shots. People don't listen for the bell that you're supposed to ring. And yes, we did ring the bell when we were through. You've got people that have really no touch and no short game just being eaten up by the greens. I mean, destroyed. 4-putting, 5-putting, banging chips left and right, ping-ponging back and forth. It's just too much for people. And people don't play the correct set of tees. But the problem at a course like Southern Pines is not the tees that you're playing. The problem at a course like Southern Pines are the green complexes, are the greens themselves. You could be playing from the correct set of tees, but guess what? Everybody around the greens becomes equal. Your +5 handicap to your 25 handicap all have to chip and putt around those greens. And people were not doing a good job on Thanksgiving. Slow round. I know 4.5 doesn't sound slow, but when you're used to walking and playing at a definitely like a sub-4 pace, sometimes close to sub, you know, 3:45 pace, you're waiting on a lot of tee boxes. And look, Scott and I talk all the time in the pod. You know, we grew up playing 6-hour rounds. It's nothing for us. But when you're playing well, it is a little bit tough to keep a rhythm. What else about there? There's a ton of false fronts at Southern Pines. And if you know that going in and you know it's a Ross design course, okay, you kind of have that understanding. And you get the idea that short of the hole is not always a good thing, right? Sometimes it's actually better to have a super fast downhill putt than landing it on the false front and having this ball roll back 30, 40 yards. And I had that happen to me on a par 3 where I hit the green and then I had about a 35-yard chip back up for my second shot. And that's disheartening, especially if you're doing it over and over and over. But they really are a true example of Donald Ross greens. The starter told me an interesting story. It was the same guys that was there the last time I played. And he told me there were these shirts that said FDR that they were selling, the Elks Club. Because if you remember the history of Southern Pines, the Pinehurst Elks Club or Southern Pines Elks Club owned the course for the longest time. Now the course is owned by the same conglomerate that owns Pine Needles and Mid Pines. So that's why a lot of money went into it. And these FDR shirts were made because even the members there that loved the course would utter fuck Donald Ross after they got off the 18th green. But they couldn't put that on a shirt. Make the Elks Club look bad. So instead, they had these FDR shirts, and a lot of people in the town had no idea what they were for. Talking about the old president? Like, nah, it's for Donald Ross. And people started to think the FDR stood for Donald Ross. but it didn't. Now they sell these shirts that say "Got Rost" on it. And I always like to think of Ross Greens, like my friend from Eagles and Arrows would always tell me, Grant would always tell me that when you play a Donald Ross Green, you don't worry about how many greens you hit in regulation. You worry about how many greens you visited, because most of the time you're not staying on. The course still needs about 3 or 4 years of growing in for the fairways, but the greens themselves are absolutely phenomenal. You know, if it ever gets truly dry, they can make that place completely unplayable, but make it a lot of fun keeping the ball rolling on the ground. The fairways were fine. They were green. They were lush, but you can tell it's new sprouts, there's new sprigs, and it was really tough to hit down on the ball there. And the sand hills, one of the things that you can kind of get used to with those, that, you know, Bermuda grass or Zoysia grass in some instances at courses down there, is that you really can kind of compress the ball by hitting down on it. But with all the rain we had and the fact that the course was a bit newer and hadn't grown in yet, it made it a bit tough and made you have to kind of really pick the ball off the ground. And then that becomes a bit troublesome because you're trying to land it on these super fast greens with a lot of undulation, and you're not getting as much spin as if you were compressing the ball. So you can see how that can make for a very, very long day. Lastly, on Southern Pines, it's all about the short game, short game, short game. You could be a 10 handicap, have a phenomenal short game, and, you know, shoot in the mid-70s there, as long as you keep it straight off the tee. You could be a single-digit 1-2-plus handicap with a poor short game and get destroyed. Short game is the equalizer on any Donald Ross course, and believe me, Southern Pines is no different. They have a great little pro shop, a lot of cool bespoke items. I got one of the G4 1906 hats. The one is a pine. Thought it was cute. Only problem we had, again, were people around us not yelling for, not playing from the correct tees, and everyone just trying to tip the course out. It's one of the problems we ran in down there, or ran into down there in Pinehurst and the surrounding areas, and happens every single year. People play from the wrong tees. They're playing a ton of golf. They get tired, but they want to see the entire course. God forbid they move up a tee box. And it becomes problematic, especially on courses that are long and difficult, and do not represent the type of course that most of these people play, you know, day in and day out. It always takes us a good 2 or 3 days to get used to the grass down there and how the course is going to react. And once we get dialed in, we're fine, which always leads me back to these tour pros and how amazing they can play week in and week out with all these varied courses and varied grass and varied weather conditions that they play in. So Southern Pines was an absolute blast. And then we moved on to Pinehurst number 8. All right, podcast patrons, little behind the scenes editor's note here. I noticed that the first portion of this episode was dragging on a little bit long, so I decided to break it up into two parts. We are in part 2 going to move to Pinehurst number 8, but then I think it would be completely unjust if I shortened my time speaking about Tot Hill Farm. We played Tot Hill Farm last, and I really want to give it its just due. It's the first time that I played it. I read everything up about it. I watched the Iron Maverick tournament there. I saw the redesign, followed them on Instagram, you know, kind of saw where they started from and where they are now. And I feel like it needed its own 15, 20, 25 minute deep dive to just kind of give you a sense of how incredibly fun this course is. It is unlike anything I've ever played. And although we have courses like this in Northeast PA that have a lot of elevation change, maybe some fun fairways and some varied greens, I felt the flow of this course was fantastic. So stay tuned for part 2, in which we'll discuss Pinehurst number 8, as well as Tot Hill Farm, then the end of our trip. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, if you can, leave a comment, rating, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, follow us on Instagram at Leave the Pin. Either get busy golfing or get busy dying. Swannies is here with a fresh take. Performance-based materials are a given these days, but if you're looking for the stretchiest and most lightweight pieces that deliver a look that says I'm here for a good time, take a walk on the Swannies side. With fabric sourced from recycled plastics and design sourced from our very own weekend warriors, Swannies is looking out for both our planet and those that need a little style to boost their drive another 15 yards. Premium looks from top to bottom at swannies.com. Podcast patrons, Leave the Pin Podcast is super stoked to have Gashouse Golf as their official clothing sponsor for the podcast. Go to gashousegolf.com, find them on all forms of social media at Gashouse Golf. Gashouse makes affordable, eye-catching, one-of-a-kind polos that help you stand out from the crowd. Why spend $75, $100, or even more on polos that make you look like everybody else when you can get one at an affordable price from Gashouse Golf? Hit the ball a mile and look damn good doing it.